As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Everything Blue Jays, everything baseball. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Have a smooth move there, Travis. Welcome to Baseball Central for Friday, July 17th. I am Jeff Blair. That is Kevin Barker.
Hello.
This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Or it might be Sportsnet 360 as well if you're watching us on TV. I've got to get this stuff organized here. The Toronto Blue Jays get back on the field tonight, the second half of the Major League season. Well,
and they're playing the Rays.
We use the second half, but you know what I mean. It's the post-All-Star break portion of the regular season. A game under 500. And they'll play the Rays, the first of three games, against a team that has won 7-10 from against them this year and has outscored them. So much for the Jays' offensive edge. I made the point in my show earlier today that if you had to sit down, Kevin, and design a schedule for the Blue Jays coming out of the All-Star break, and you were a person who was really mean, a really mean-spirited person,
right?
You would first thing you'd want them to play the Rays.
A lot.
Because the Rays, John Gibbons' record against the Rays over his career, I believe the winning percentage is someplace around 300.
Right.
Then you'd probably send them on the road. Mm-hmm. And you might think, if you really wanted to be mean to them, you send them on the road to play the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or maybe send them into Detroit and then Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you were a kind of a studious guy and you wanted to do something a little more subtler, you'd say, you know what? Now we're going to send them to Oakland. We're going to send them to Seattle. Oakland, a big ballpark, huge foul territory. Balls that get out at the Rogers Center don't even make it to the warning track mm-hmm. in Oakland. And then you go to Seattle, and there's bad juju in Seattle. Well, I don't know what it is.
They are going to Philadelphia, too, so you can sort of throw in a...
Philly's all right.
Well, you
though.
Throw in a couple of...
Yeah, Philly's... You should be able to beat Philadelphia through eyes closed.
That's the point. They yeah. just, you know, they sprinkle it in front of their face.
But Oakland and Seattle are not destinations of choice for the Toronto Blue Jays, yet that's what they're faced with coming out of the All-Star break. And, you know, we're going to be joined by John Gibbons. And, Kevin, I can guarantee you that when all the writers get to the ballpark tonight, the topic of conversation with John Gibbons and, if he's there, Alex Anthopoulos, mm-hmm. it's going to be the trade deadline. Yep. First day back after the All-Star game. Everybody's going to be talking about the trade deadline. I'm going to make this point right now. Because you know last year that when Alex Anthopoulos didn't do anything at the trade deadline, Jose Bautista and yep. Casey Jansen, amongst other players, were critical of the general manager.
Yeah,
I'm going to put a challenge out to the Blue Jays players. It's on you to force Alex Anthopoulos to make a deal at the trade deadline. Because if you're a game under 500 or 500 or a game above 500, I don't care if you're 4.5, 5.5, 6.5, whatever it is out of the lead. You're really not putting the general manager in a position where he's going to feel like, I got to do something to make this team better. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, people are going to be saying it's an Alex Anthopoulos. I'll tell you what, I think coming out of the gate, I think it's on the players, and they got to sweep the Rays
Ooh.
To really send a message to Alex Anthopoulos.
You said sweep?
They got to go 6-3 in these next 9 or 7-2 if they really want to force the general manager's hand. Because otherwise, if I'm Alex Anthopoulos, yeah, Buck Martinez in my show this morning, and Buck Martinez, as much as anybody, has been talking about the need to add pitching. Buck yep. said today, you know what? I don't want to move any of those young arms. I don't want to move any of those prospects.
Let me ask, why all of a sudden did that come about? Why are people all of a sudden saying, because you ask everybody in Toronto 3 weeks ago, everybody's saying,
get rid of the house. Yeah. 10 days ago, it was bring Johnny Cueto. Get Johnny
yeah,
Cueto
and
Aroldis
Chapman. Takes. Why is it different now?
I think part of it might be because Alex is always a little guarded. I think the other thing, though, that has happened here is the way the Blue Jays finished the first half of the season, I think it caused a lot of people to take a step back. And for the longest time, I think this Blue Jays team has been living off that winning streak earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
They've been living off that. They've been living off the fact that they were scoring an incredible amount of runs. Yet they kind of went into the All-Star break. Oh, they had an eruption in the last game offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But the hitting wasn't where it was earlier in the year. And that's not to denigrate anybody or anything. The offense is going to have its ups and downs. Every offensive team has its ups and downs. But I think at some point people took a step back. And I don't know if I realized how important 500 was to this team.
Yeah.
People look at this team being a game under 500. And I think for a lot of people, that kind of changes their mind about this team. And we've had this happen in the past with the Blue Jays, but the difference this year compared to other years with the Blue Jays, Kevin, is now you can see all those arms, right? We saw Marcus Stroman last year. We saw Aaron Sanchez last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen Roberto Osuna this year, Daniel Norris. And I'm not saying they're all going to go on to be Cy Young Award winners, but I think at some point people have looked at this thing and said, all right, Mark Burley's not coming back next year. R.A. Dickey, unfortunately, probably will be back next year. Now, and this is people thinking.
Yeah.
Drew Hutchison, who the hell knows what Drew Hutchison is anymore?
Yeah.
And I think that's caused everybody to stand back and go, do we really want to put together a deal of Stroman and Hoffman, for example, to get Johnny Cueto?
Uh-huh.
Even to get Jeff Samardzija. And I think a lot of people realized, you know what? We don't really want to do that. We don't really want to do that. And further to that, Kevin, I think when Alex Anthopoulos decided, and I don't know when he decided to do it, but when he took the approach that he wasn't going to make a deal last month or a week ago, you know, when he took the decision that he was kind of going to let it go up to the trade deadline, I think a lot of people just said, okay, you know, if you're going to do that, I mean, the time to overpay was 3 weeks ago.
Sure was.
If you're going to do something like, and I wouldn't do it, but if you're going to do Stroman, you know, I don't know, Stroman and Norris or whatever, for the time to do that, the time to overpay was 3 weeks ago. This isn't the time to overpay.
I think the Daniel Norris whole saga put a wrench in all of this because...
And Aaron Sanchez's injury, too.
But we know what Aaron Sanchez is. We know where he's going to be in the long run. We don't know where Daniel Norris is going to be. And then he goes to AAA and it's, what do you got? He's not throwing as hard. You hear people saying that the down and away four-seam fastball is not there anymore. We mentioned yesterday for a kid, that's a big deal. Other people are seeing this. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden your biggest trademark, because the other guys you just mentioned you don't want to get rid of, Daniel Norris is at the front of that page. Now guys are not, other teams are not saying that's the piece we want to get this, plus maybe an Edwin Encarnacion, something of that deal. Well, that's not working. So now what do? I think that's where it's come about that you're not wanting to give anybody up. It's a couple of different ways. If you don't want to go out and get a starter, I think if you try and go get some guy in a bullpen, it would cost you more money than it would a prospect. Mm-hmm. Why not try to do that? Why not try? To me, you have to do something. This team, what you think of it, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, is a pretty good team. It's not a bad team. It's a pretty good team. When's the American League East going to be the American League East again?
I think it might have become the American League East again.
Okay, so where's that leave the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. When are you going to have another chance with an offense like this? We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball to look into next year and say, this team offensive side is going to do exactly what they did this year. We don't know that.
But they could be. I had this discussion with Wilner. They could be better. Edwin
Encarnacion's
not. Sure. Edwin isn't having an Edwin season.
Uh-huh.
Was he hitting 240? I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
he's not having an Edwin season. There's no reason to expect a drop-off from Josh Donaldson. There's no reason to expect a drop-off from Russ Martin. I don't think there's any reason to expect a drop-off from Jose. Now, I know that, look, I know that they're getting older. But Jose Bautista's doing what he's doing with one shoulder.
Yep.
If anything, I would expect Jose Bautista to be better next year. Edwin's not having a career year. I mean, the guys who are having career years for this team are Chris Colabello and Kevin Pillar.
Yeah.
Chris Colabello ain't going to be here next year. If he is, it's going to be as a bench guy.
Yeah.
And Kevin Pillar, I think, has probably put himself in a position where he's the Blue Jays.
He's earned it.
He's earned a position to be the Blue Jay center fielder.
Yeah.
But I look at this team offensively. I don't see where the drop-off is going to occur. I mean, maybe Devin Travis has a drop-off, but Jose Reyes, this isn't outrageous offense for Jose Reyes.
No.
Donaldson, Reyes, Martin, Bautista, Encarnacion are all capable of giving you exactly what they're giving you or better next year.
I'll say this.
So I don't worry about the offense. The offense is going
to
be there next
If you're going to go down this road and not do anything, you're going to have to flirt with some things. You're going to have to figure out ways. Because basically what you're saying to your team, your 25-man guys, and most people that like the Blue Jays, is we're not going to try to win the American League East because you don't go out. This is what you got. If you feel like you can win it with what you got, well, I don't think we all have accepted that that's not the case. That I'm not real sure on the pitching side of the ball and some areas on defense, they're not good enough to win the American League East.
Yeah,
can we accept
that's
that?
Safe. That's safe.
Okay.
No, that's safe.
We can
that's
say that. So
safe.
With that being said, you don't go out if you're Alex and do anything on that pitching side of the ball. How do you make your team better? Well, you start flirting with certain things. Maybe you move a smoke to first base more times to make your team better on that side of the ball. Maybe you start trying to do something in left field. Maybe you start flirting with some stuff at shortstop to make your team better. I don't know. You have to do a little bit of something to – if you're not going to go out and spend money or give up a prospect, you have to at least say, hey, we're going to try to make our team better in other ways.
Yeah, but money at the trade deadline is not – I just think money's an issue in the offseason. At the trade deadline, you're picking up half a year of a guy. So unless you're talking about a guy who's making $25 million and you're picking up $12 million of it, it shouldn't be an issue. If you're picking up a guy who's got $5.5 million left of a $12 million contract, that's doable.
Tyler Clippard is an example.
That's doable.
Yeah.
I think what you're going to see Alex do, I'm not saying that Alex necessarily stands pat, but if Alex makes a move, I can see him making a move that will work for this year, next year, and maybe a year down the road. Maybe you do get a guy with some term left.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to see the Blue Jays get in a situation where they're moving a prospect, two good prospects, or one real good prospect and a so-so prospect to rent a guy.
What if you go to another team and get a younger guy? You want to go young in the starting five. I'm going to throw an example out. We've heard rumors about Seattle and Deonor Navarro. We've made that rumor a little bit. Taiwan Walker, not real sure. He's a younger guy. He's 22. Mm-hmm. You would have a younger rotation. I'm not saying that would ever happen.
Yeah, but
giving an example of that's if you want to go young, you want to shoot for the future and not so much the second half of this season.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense because you wouldn't get it just for Navarro. You'd have to throw another young pitcher in. So if you're the Blue Jays, you're trading Daniel Norris and Deonor Navarro for Taiwan Walker.
The Seattle problem is scoring runs.
Yeah, but they've also
sugar the pot with a big leaguer that can hit the ball.
But they're not going to their season's over.
I understand that. That's my point. Is you if you want to go for a guy like that, I'm not saying that Seattle's the thing. I'm mentioning Seattle because they've been mentioned to want a catcher. Well, Deonor Navarro makes sense. You've said you don't want to give him up. It makes sense here too because he's a switch hitting catcher that can call a pretty good game and can hit from both sides of the plate. I'm just saying, to me, when's this chance going to come around? There's so many ifs in baseball, and so many, are they going to score this many runs? They're on pace to score in the mid-800 runs this year. That's a lot of runs. Can they do that again next year and add some pieces to your pitching? Because let's face it, if you don't add pieces to your pitching, you're going to be the same next year as you were this year.
Mm.
That's the point. It's
you're going to... The job that Alex Anthopoulos needs to do in this team would have been better off being done in the offseason.
Well, he missed the boat, right?
He should have.
The bullpen obviously was the problem, We didn't realize that Drew Hutchison was going to do this year what he's doing. That's hurt a lot.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing if you're Alex Anthopoulos. You didn't expect Stroman to get hurt stepping on a sprinkler head. You didn't expect Hutch to be as erratic as he is. You know, I don't think, I mean, I'm sure the Jays looked at Daniel Norris and thought that there was a chance this guy would end up having to go.
Saunders, down. Michael Saunders, sprinkler.
Saunders was out. Stroman was the fielding practice. I'm sorry. And you probably didn't expect Sanchez to get hurt. Now, there's nothing you can do if you're Alex Anthopoulos in the offseason. You can't sit down and go, boy, I got to do something in case Stroman, Sanchez both get hurt. Hutchison forgets how to pitch on the road. And Daniel Norris, you know, ends up back at AAA. I mean, there are some things you can't guard against as a general manager. But what I am agreeing with you on is I think this organization had to address the bullpen in the offseason.
Right. All of those guys you mentioned are starters. You know, you haven't mentioned a name there that was a bullpen guy. Most of the bullpen guys are.
Well, Sanchez was a bullpen guy.
We
shouldn't go
on
that.
This show. They were.
Yeah,
he was.
John Gibbons is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and John Gibbons, his first official responsibility as Blue Jays manager after the All-Star break, is talking to us. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Hey, Gibby.
What was that punishment?
Hey.
No, it's not a punishment.
That's rude.
That is rude. How was your break? What'd you do? What'd you see? Where'd you go?
Yeah, you know what I did? I went home to San Antonio, Texas. Just kind of hung out with the families, relaxed, and it was a good time. It goes by quick, though, I'll tell you that.
Excuse me, Jeff. Did you watch the home run derby and the home run the All Star game? What'd you think of those?
You know, Kev, I watched the watched Frazier and Peterson go at it at the end there, so I missed a lot of the preliminary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. You know, I always enjoy the home run hitting contest. I think with the new rules and everything, I mean, they weren't dragging it out all night on TV, so I think most people probably enjoyed that. But it's always when you're involved in baseball, like all of us are. Even events like that, when you get a chance during a few days off, you're still attracted to them, because it's in our blood. So It's always a thrill.
John, this is a pretty tough way to start the second half of the season, isn't it? Tampa's a team that plays you tough. They pitch you tough and they play you tough. And then you've got Oakland, you got Seattle as well on the road, two places this team has difficulty in. I made the point earlier today that because you know as well as I do, all the talk today is going to be about the trade deadline and I mean that's just the way it's going to be and what the team needs and what it has to offer and all that. And my point is, I think it'd be really good if the Toronto Blue Jays players kind of forced Alex's hand here and won like 7 of the next 9. I'm sure you'd go for that too. But how difficult a stretch of games is this for you guys against these opponents and in those two ballparks in particular, Oakland and Seattle?
Yeah, Jeff, those have always been tough spots for this team. But let's face it, if we're going to get to the top this year, we're going to have to reverse some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa's been tough on us this year. Perennially, they are. We're coming off a tough series on the road too. We need to play some good games here at home and then hit the road again out there, like you said, in Oakland, Seattle, tough spots for us. But, if you're going to win something, I mean, that's got to change. I mean, you got to start playing, better out there, winning more games or everything normally stays status quo, right?
Mm-hmm.
These next couple of weeks are very big for us. We've been on the road for so long. But championship teams, they somehow figure a way to do it on the road too, as well at home.
John, I know you've talked about this in the past, but and we talked about it in spring training a couple of years ago, and you made an interesting point about the way Tampa Bay pitches your team and how they pitch your team in spring training the way they pitch your team in the regular season for the most part, that they've got a plan and they stick to it. What is the reason for their success pitching-wise against you guys? I know if you had the answer, you probably wouldn't – if you had the answer, there wouldn't be an issue. But what do they do in particular that has allowed them to pitch consistently so well against you?
Well, what they, Jeff, I know, they'll throw anything at you at any time, any count. It really doesn't matter. And one thing that, happens when, even if they have guys that have come up through their system or they bring in guys through trades or however, they, you know, they master the off-speed pitches down there. Primarily, I'm talking about, you know, the changeup. It's one thing they do. It doesn't matter, you know, what kind of arm you show up with over there. You know, those kind of, I mean, they really focus on turning these guys into complete pitchers. And you know, you watch over the years, and you can just see Chris Archer getting better over the years. Naturally, that was probably going to happen, you know, because he was such a talented kid, but you could see it happening faster. You know, there's, you know, a number of guys on that staff that, you know, they have had their careers resurrected down there by just, you know, changing their approach, you know, adding a pitch or two. You know, so they've, you know, it's, I mean, they really got it going on down there. And, you know, as far as how they face us, like I said, they'll throw those breaking balls or changeups any time in the count. And we're like most teams, you know, slugging teams. You know, we there's not many fastballs that you can beat us with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you can, I mean, you can throw those other pitches at any time, it kind of equalizes you. And we've started to see that over the years. And one thing we've always been built on, I think I've said this before, is this team really the last few years has really primarily been built on its offense. So when you go to, when you play Tampa and you're facing their, I mean, they've always had, you know, some of the best pitching in the league. You know, good pitching will shut down, at least equalize, you know, good hitting. And when they do that, unless when we're pitching, we shut them down too, you know, they end up beating us. So it's, I mean, very rarely do you see, at least that I can recollect, blowout games against Tampa. You know, either way, they're usually good, tight ball games. And you know, our offense is really, you know, we've had a number of blowouts this year against different teams. Never seems to happen against them because, you know, they keep just throwing pitcher after pitcher against you.
Yeah, Gibby, everything you said is true. The three guys that are throwing against you with Tampa Bay are Odorizzi, Ramirez, and Archer. All three guys have that really, really good slider. You know, predominantly being a right-handed hitting team, would we see you maybe trying to get more lefties like a Smoke, a Carrera, a Ryan Goins all in the same game to maybe, you know, help solidify that one pitch or maybe get some more guys on base?
Yeah, well, yeah, you'll see those guys, at least a couple of those guys, you know, at least a couple of the games this weekend. You know, that's a great point, you know, because we are heavy right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, against a good, you know, good pitching, good right-handed pitching, you know, that can be awful tough, especially like you said, with against a good breaking ball. So, yeah, I know, you know, coming out of the break, you know, you try to set your pitching rotation. I guarantee they set that up with that in mind, you know, that you know, they want to bring those good righties against us. So, you know, it's a perfect time. It's a vital time for us to get off to a good start. Everybody's rested here and kind of regrouped a little bit. And, now's the time.
Joined by John Gibbons from Baseball Central. What update can you give us, or is there any update on Jose Bautista going into this the second half of the season? We know that he didn't go to the All-Star game to get the shoulder worked on. Is there any update there at all?
Well, JB, he should be fine. You know, okay. I haven't officially talked to him, but you know, it was just one of those things, you know, that shoulder flared up on him a little bit. I don't think there's any major concern. He should be good to go tonight. But, you know, I'm glad he chose not to go to the All-Star game. You know, just rest that thing. You know, his priorities need to be this team. So, I don't think that should alarm anybody that it flared up again. It's just, you know, he was going at it every day, you know, since he started back in right field. I mean, I don't think he had a break. So, yeah, he should be very, you know, he should be fine tonight.
We also know that Dalton Pompey has been promoted to AAA from AA. What are the reports on him from his time in the minors? Because he obviously scuffled when he went to AAA. Went to AA and put together a really nice offensive run. And if you talk to people who saw him, say he kind of looked more like the guy the Jays saw last year. But what are your expectations for Dalton Pompey in the second half? Is he a guy that could be up here before September, or do you think the organization would likely let him finish out the year at AAA?
Well, Jeff, you know, it's hard to say. You know, it really depends on what our needs are and. You know, if he can come back and be a difference maker for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, he made the team out of spring training for a reason. We thought he was ready. You know, he struggled, and I think mentally it was getting to him a little bit. You know, so we sent him back down, and really, you know, even at Buffalo, like you said, he was struggling a little bit. So he was battling that, his confidence, and he went back to Double A and just really settled down. And now really just really picked up where he left off last year in September here. You know, he's still a young kid. You know, that was really one of the gambles we were taking. You know, when he made the team out of spring, is he ready mentally to handle it if he struggles? And you know, I think it got to the point where to save him, really we needed to send him down. But you know, he's so young, he's got such a bright future. I mean, really where he is now, and now that he's moving up to Triple A, where he probably should have been, you know, to even start the season. So he's in a good spot. I mean, a ton of talent. We all know that. So when he's ready, if he can help this team one way or the other, it'll be a priority.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Sanchez is now in Triple A. I'm guessing he's going to make a couple of starts. How big of a hurry are the Blue Jays to call him up? And when he does get called up, are we going to see him as a starter, or are we going to see him in the bullpen, Gibby?
Well, I know we're all anxious to see him again. You know, it's been a while. It'll be almost a couple months, you know, when he finally gets back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he ends up, not sure yet. You know, we're gearing him up for a starting role. You know, that could change if any moves are made, or, you know, really depending on how maybe our rotation or what our bullpen, what they're doing in the time being, you know, until he comes back, you know, that could influence that as well. So, you know, he's very valuable to us, and he's going to, wherever he ends up, rotation or pen, you know, he makes us that much better in those spots. So, but they said he felt great last night. You know, just now he just needs to, you know, get a few more innings under his belt, hone in on that strike zone a little bit more, and hopefully then he'll pick up right where he left off.
Gibby, we are 2 weeks from the trade deadline. What are your expectations from Alex Anthopoulos as we get close to the trade deadline?
Well, I can tell you this. If he could have made a trade by now, he would have done that. I can guarantee you that. Nothing's really matched up. You know, there's some teams I know that have interest in some of our guys out there on players that we like. But, you know, nobody's ready to pull the trigger yet. You know, I think they're using their leverage, you know, to their advantage. But yeah, if he could have done something by now, he definitely would have. But, you know, it's hard to say. I would expect something to happen, but, you know, I can't guarantee that.
Right.
You know, because there's so many teams competing for the same guys. But, you know, he's been going at it hard. And you know, I mean, something could happen, you know, in the next few days, something could happen, you know, around the deadline. Something might not happen. You know, who knows? That's kind of, you know, way baseball works sometimes. But wouldn't be for lack of effort, that's for sure.
Gibby, listen, we appreciate you joining us. As always, we will see you at the ballpark in about 4 hours.
Good luck, Gibby.
Can't wait, boys.
Take care. That's John Gibbons, manager of the Blue Jays. He almost sounded like he meant
that. You think we believe that?
Going to the park tonight?
I am going, yes.
All right. Then I'll go too.
I'm not going to. How would I miss that if you're going? Yeah. Can't miss that.
I'm going too then. Even Travis apparently is going too.
That's nice.
The Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays. 3-game series starts tonight. These are your pitching matchups. Deep breath, everybody. Jake Odorizzi against Drew Hutchison tonight. Saturday, Erasmo Ramirez against R.A. Dickey. Light a candle for that one. And then Sunday, Chris Archer of the Tampa Bay Rays against Marco Estrada. And Chris Archer has beaten the Jays 3 times already this year.
Mm-hmm. He had a bad last start, I think. Gave up 9 earnings. But I think when he was in the All-Star game, I think you have to go up. And all three of these guys don't go deep in counts. Be aggressive. Go up, have an approach. You see a fastball, it's sort of like pinch hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go up, you get fastball, you let it eat. Why take pitches and try to work counts? Who cares if they have 50 pitches in the fifth inning if you're winning 5-0?
Mm-hmm.
Go up and let it eat, because Gibby just mentioned the slider, the changeup. They're trying to get to the changeup. Why go up and have to swing at it? Swinging a fastball. See it? Let it eat.
Mr. Barker and myself have a few more thoughts on the second half. What awaits the Blue Jays? What the Blue Jays need to do? We'll deal with those when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on television on Sportsnet 360.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, after lengthy consideration and in-depth analysis, Mr. Barker and myself have decided that we will finish out the show, the last 20 minutes of the show.
Perfect. Actually, it's 13 minutes.
Well, 14.
Go on, though.
It is Baseball Central, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We are celebrating the return of honest-to-God real live Major League
Yippee!
Baseball.
Sorry, had to. I had to.
Honest to God, real live Major League Baseball returns tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet Ontario's. The Blue Jays play the Tampa Bay Rays in the first of a three-game series. Jays a game under 500. And along with everybody else, they're still in the American League East race. And it'll be Jake Odorizzi on the mound for Tampa Bay against Drew Hutchison. We talked a little bit about Drew off the air. And look, I think I'm going to say something right away about Barker. Not that. Very early in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the guy, I was talking up Drew Hutchison.
Cy Young.
Why? No. No. I never said Cy Young.
As a stretch.
No. It was last year when I said Brandon Morrow might be the Cy Young contender. I never used the word Cy Young and Drew Hutchison. Maybe I did. Anyhow, Barker, very early in the season, you said that I have some concerns about Drew Hutchison. You have never, and I'm not saying this to throw you under the bus. I'm just saying you've always kind of had some reservations about Drew Hutchison.
Well, it looks like I'm a pretty
pitcher.
Smart guy.
Yeah,
it's working out this year.
Talk about that a little bit because you did coming out of spring training. You said, I think you're expecting too much from Drew Hutchison.
I do. I think the arm side location is the way he goes down and away to left-handers and into right-handers is a struggle for him. And when you do that, being right-handed pitcher, you're going to struggle. And this is what he has. He has a true trouble with that up and in, falls behind with that. And when he falls behind and that slider's not working, secondary pitches, you need three quality good pitches in the big leagues to succeed. Well, on occasion, he has one really good one. That's normally the fastball.
Mm-hmm.
You need that slider. I think him and Pete Walker getting together with the changeup is going to help him tremendous. Prime example is the team they're about to face. John Gibbons just mentioned the three guys they're facing like to throw the changeup. I think that's going to give him a different look because a changeup comes out of the hand looking just like a fastball. The splits between the home and the road, back-to-back years, we have no idea why that is.
That's almost got to be a fluke, doesn't it?
I think we're lost at words. We're lost with just. I think one of the reasons this year is because the offense is so good and the pitching staff knows at home they're going to score a ton of runs. At least that's what I'm going with. Other than that, I'm not real sure about Drew. I think. More than any time, getting ahead is very important to him, but also strike three has been a huge problem with Drew because he'll go 0-2, he'll go 1-2, he'll throw that fastball that's middle away and up. You can foul that off. He throws two or three pitches via the foul ball. The put away pitch is very hard because he's struggling with the slider. I think that's why the changeup is very important. It just gets back to forgetting about what you do before the game starts. When you go in the game, forget about all your mechanics and what I've done and my whips in the almost 1-5 range. Forget about all of these things. Just go to the mound and throw strikes. And don't try to miss barrels. Just go in there, pound the strike zone. Don't beat yourself via the walk. And I think, you know, we were making a little bit of fun of this when I mentioned, is this the biggest 10 to 13 games of Drew Hutchison's career? I'm starting to think that, you know, with the changes that are going to be made and the new president and possibly a new GM, I think this is a big deal for Drew. I think it's going to solidify spots coming up in the near future. You know, he's a good pitcher, but results are everything at this level. They are.
And the one thing we know about this organization is they will fast track guys. And yeah. Jeff Hoffman's coming like a train. And this isn't to say that they're all going to be Cy Young candidates. I keep mentioning that, but you've got to figure that Marcus Stroman comes back. I mean, it wasn't a pitching injury, so there's nothing wrong with his arm.
No,
Stroman comes back. Hoffman is going to be here next year. I asked someone in the organization, and Jeff Hoffman has just been promoted to AA, mm-hmm. and I asked someone in the organization yesterday, I said, this guy basically has to pitch himself off next year's rotation.
Well, he sits at 97.
Yeah, and the guy laughed and said, yeah, he hasn't even made a start at AAA, and you're right. He's got to pitch himself out of the rotation for next year. Mm-hmm. So, hey, if you're Drew Hutchison, and we haven't talked about this a lot, but I wonder if you're the Blue Jays, if you're Alex Anthopoulos, and people keep asking you for Stroman and Hoffman and Norris and Sanchez, maybe do you go to a team and say, we're not moving any of those guys. Would you be interested in Drew Hutchison?
It'd be a hard sell.
Well, but the thing is about baseball people, you know this as well as I do, they all think they can reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
They all think they can reinvent the wheel. Drew Hutchison is a controllable guy. He's not going to break the bank. If he's right, he's going to give you some innings. I'm just saying that maybe he's a guy that we've overlooked as a potential trade candidate.
Obviously, this is an issue.
And he's young enough, Kevin, that people may look at this as a fluke. He's young enough that they may look at what we've seen and say, yeah, okay, there's an issue there, but we can fix it.
It's 2 years in a row where he's had trouble on the road. He's had trouble at home. Next year, is it going to be the same? I don't think that's a fluke. Mm. Something's there, whether he's, you know, there's something in the water. He's not eating right.
He's also had a good second half. He had a good second half last year. So let's see what happens this year. But your point off air was right. I think there's no doubt that Drew Hutchison right now is not guaranteed to be part of next year's starting rotation. And nobody, I don't care what you thought of Drew Hutchison in spring training, nobody would have said that. Because I think in the back of everybody's mind, Drew Hutchison was going to be the number two guy, the stabilizing guy. Stroman would probably be the ace. You'd have Hoffman, you'd have Sanchez, maybe Norris, maybe Osuna. But Hutchison was going to be the guy who was a little more mature and maybe a little more advanced because he'd spent more time in the majors. Yeah. He's already gone through his Tommy John thing. Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, Drew Hutchison was looked at as being kind of the linchpin maybe of that rotation next year. And I don't think you can say that right now.
Yeah, I don't either. I agree 100%. I think he's got to earn a spot. And that's a very hard thing for a young guy to do. That's, you know, basically been handed a job. And now I'm not sure Alex Anthopoulos would come out and say that Drew Hutchison, this is a very important 10 or 13 games regardless of how many games he throws. It is very important. It's very important, I think, more than anything, for him to give his team a chance to win. Mm-hmm. That's important. That means he's striding in the right direction, both places, because they're going to go on the road to face some tough teams. You have to do it on the road. They're going to come home and they're going to face some really tough teams. Just give your team a chance to win. I think that's a step in the right direction, and maybe – just maybe Pete Walker's on the right track with the changeup. Maybe. We're going to have to see, because he's going to have to buy into it and accept that I'm going to have to throw that more than my slider. It's hard to sell that to a young guy. It's just like selling it to an old veteran guy that's been around forever. It's hard. And this is something he's going to have to buy into and say, this is going to work. If I'm going to be in the big leagues for a very long time, I'm going to have to make adjustments.
There's going to be an awful lot of baseball on the Sportsnet channels, in addition to the Jays and the Rays this weekend. So I'll give you a little rundown now. The Royals and White Sox will be 2 p.m. today on Sportsnet East, Ontario, West, and Pacific. It'll be Edinson Volquez against Jeff Samardzija. Red Sox and Angels will be at 10 p.m. tonight on Sportsnet Pacific. That'll be Joined in Progress on Sportsnet East, Ontario, and West after Sportsnet Central tomorrow. The Dodgers and the Nationals, that will be a good one. That'll be at 4 p.m. on Sportsnet East, Ontario, West, and Pacific. That is Doug Pfister against Clayton Kershaw. Ooh. Tigers and Orioles, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet, East Ontario, West and Pacific on Saturday. And then on Sunday, in addition to the Jays game, at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, we'll have Sunday Night Baseball. It will be the Red Sox against the Angels. And the Nationals and Dodgers, that's a...
David Price would look really nice in a Blue Jays uni, wouldn't it?
What's that got to do with
that? It doesn't.
Nationals just, and Dodgers. Why'd you throw David Price?
You mentioned the Detroit Tigers, and that's who I thought of. Sorry.
Did I?
You did.
Okay, yeah, they're playing the Orioles. Price is pitching in that game. David Price will look good in everybody's uniform.
Yeah, but, you know, he's pitching the American League East. It doesn't scare him, and he'd be real nice the next couple of years.
Elsewhere around the Jays minor league system, again, we'll mention this, Aaron Sanchez made his third rehab start after that lat injury last night. The Bisons lost 8-1 to Columbus. He lasted 3 1/3 innings, gave up 5 hits, 2 earned runs, a couple of walks, 3 strikeouts, 63 pitches, 32 strikes. Dalton Pompey went 2-for-4 with a double, a triple, an RBI, a walk, and a strikeout as the AA New Hampshire Fisher Cats beat Portland 7-2. Dalton Pompey has been promoted to AAA. We spoke to him on the Jeff Blair Show earlier today. He has been promoted to AAA. He will join Buffalo tonight. And as you heard the conversation with John Gibbons, there aren't any plans right now for Dalton Pompey. Basically, what the Jays have said to Dalton Pompey is, you know, you'll dictate.
You earn it, you get it.
You'll dictate where you're going to go.
I agree. You don't agree with that? I agree with that
100%. No, I do totally. I do totally. You know, I think that if this team gets further into it, if they're within a game of first place or if something like that happens, they are going to need to seriously address the issues of outfield defense.
Right.
And as long as Dalton Pompey looks comfortable, as long as Dalton Pompey looks like he's not overmatched, I think he could be up here real quickly. Because as much as Chris Colabello has been a terrific offensive player for the Blue Jays, they can't. If they kind of move up a little bit in the standings, they can't go with Chris Colabello.
Skull growing up, I think what you need to look for is not so much going 4-for-4. It's that when he goes 0-for-4, how does he take that to the outfield?
What was your thought process like when you were sent down for the first time after you'd played in the majors?
It was really hard. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done.
Was that Bruce Bochy who sent you down? It
was the Brewers.
It was the Brewers.
Davey Lopes was the first guy to send me down. It was the worst thing I'd ever went through as an athlete. I was devastated. It took me a very long time to figure out how to get back to just being a good player in the minor leagues. It's very hard.
I've got to think, as a guy who played high school and a guy who got a scholarship at college and was a high draft pick, that's probably the first time somebody said to you, not good enough, right?
Yeah, 100%. It was very hard. I had the same issues as Dalton Pompey did. I would take my at-bats to the field. You can't do that. You have to have that John Olerud kind of thing. When I'm 0-for-40, I look like I'm 40-for-40. That kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. Music means it's time
tired
to
hear me talk, I guess.
That's what I call a hint. That's what I call a hint. That's Jeff and Kevin. Get the hell off the air.
See you later.
Because Brady and Walker are coming. Just kidding. Listen, for John Gibbons and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the baseball. We'll see you again on Monday. Brady and Walker up next. Have a great weekend.